Good. Next, I'll have Gary come up and read the minutes from the 2014 annual meeting. Gary?
The annual congregational meeting for Grace Doctrine Church was held during the second session on Sunday, 9 February 2014. The chairman of the Board of Deacons, Dr. Weldon Schott, called the meeting to order. Chairman Schott asked Pastor Griffin to open the meeting in prayer. Chairman then asked the secretary if a quorum was present, and the secretary responded in the affirmative. Secretary read the minutes from the 10 February 2013 annual meeting, and the chairman entertained a motion to approve the minutes as read. The motion was made by Rick Sherrill and seconded by Burnell Bircher. The motion was voted on by the congregation and passed unanimously. The chairman presented the agenda for the meeting, approval from minutes from the previous year's annual meeting, ratification of Pastor Griffin's nominations for 2014 Board of Deacons, 2013 annual financial report, Joe Griffin Media Ministries update, and Gary Watson's missionary update. The chairman proceeded with the ratification of the nominations of the 2014 Board of Deacons. The ballots were distributed to the congregation. The votes were cast, ballots collected and counted, led by Mr. Jim Hunt. The chairman was informed that all nominations had been successfully ratified by the congregation. Next, Chairman Schott informed the congregation that there was one new business item. The new business was a suggestion that we change the start time of our weeknight Bible classes from 7:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Mike Weber made a motion that we make this change. The motion was seconded by Ryan Jacobsmeyer. The chairman asked if there was any discussion. Burnell Bircher had one question. How many would not be able to attend at the earlier time because of work? Tom Wojciechowski asked, would there be a new time? When would the new time go into effect? Paul Davey commented that the current bulletin had 7:30 listed as a start time. Tom Wojciechowski suggested that we give the new time a 90-day trial and then revisit. After discussion, the motion was revised to the following. Grace Doctrine Church would change the start time of Wednesday and Thursday Bible classes from 7:30 p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. starting on April 2, 2014, and run a trial period for 90 days, and then the Board of Deacons would revisit after the 90-day trial period ended. The motion passed with one dissenting vote. The chairman then introduced Rick Sherrill for the presentation of the 2013 annual financial report. Mr. Sherrill reported on the finances of Grace Doctrine Church and Joe Griffin Media Ministries. The chairman thanked Mr. Sherrill for his report. The chairman then introduced Pastor Griffin for a Joe Griffin Media Ministries update. The chairman then thanked Pastor Griffin for his report. The chairman then introduced Gary Watson for a Philippi Freedom Ministries update, and the chairman then asked if there were any other new business or questions. Since there were none, he entertained a motion to close the meeting. The motion was made by Mr. Rick Sherrill and seconded by Mr. Jim Hunt. The motion was voted on and passed unanimously. Pastor Griffin closed the meeting in prayer.
Okay. Can you hear me? You could probably hear me before. Okay. Early, or at the end of last year, Pastor Griffin nominated the deacons for the Board of Deacons. After that nomination, the board approved that, and the next step is to have ratification by the congregation that is present at the annual meeting. So I think Joe's passing out ballots. And if you are a member of this church and are, what do we say, 20 years old, this voting age, I do have a Valentine's joke. It turns out this man, at the insistence of his wife, had to go to marriage counselor. So as they went, the counselor introduced himself and asked the man, "What do you think the problem is?" And he just shrugs his shoulders. He says, "I don't know. You know, I don't know." And he said, "Really?" He said, "Yes." So he turns to the lady. He says, "Do you have a different idea or take on this?" She said, "Well, I don't mind him going out with the boys, but now it's 2 days a week. He does these poker games, and he comes home at 1:30, 2, wakes me up, smells like a big cigar. And I don't mind shopping for the groceries and cooking and preparing everything, but he watches TV while he eats dinner. You'd think he'd at least pick his plate up every now and then and bring it into the sink. And speaking of the TV, once he's watching sports, he just tunes out. He doesn't say anything to me, and it's useless for me to say anything to him. And we used to go out to eat twice a week, and we haven't been out to eat now in almost a year." He looks back at the husband, and he's got his head hangdog look on his face and head hanging down. And so the counselor goes over to the woman and gives her a big hug and then a kiss. The husband says, "Hey, wait a minute, what are you doing? What is that?" He said, "That, my friend, is what your wife needs a couple times a week." He said, "Well, can I bring her on Tuesdays and Thursdays?" Have you tallied? Okay. I want to give them time to think about it, if they were going to accept it or not. Okay, I need a motion that the minutes from 2014 be accepted as is. Is there such a motion? Behind the glass, Dave, okay, is there a second? All right, thank you. All those in favor? Opposed? We got it, and we got, okay. We squeaked by again. So thank you, Jim, and thank all of you for coming and to the congregational meeting. Let me see if I can do this right. Next, we're going to have Rick come up and give you financial updates, as he did last year. I'll leave it to him.
Good morning, everyone. I got up this morning and realized that I didn't feel real good, and I thought, I really don't want to go do this today. And I thought, I'm surely not the only one who's had that thought. It reminded me of a lady who lived next door when I was growing up. She told me about coming in Sunday morning. She was up early roaming around doing what she does, and she went by her son's room and knocked on the door and said, "Come on, get up, let's go to church." She went on. Sure enough, she came back later, looked in, he's still in bed. So she made a lot more noise and suggested that it was really a good idea that he get up. And so she goes on around her business and comes back the third time, and he's still in bed. Really bad idea. And so she comes in and jerks the sheets off and really gives him a tongue lashing, and he sets up on the side of the bed and he says, "You know, I don't know if I really want to go to church this morning." And she says, "Well, why is that?" She says, "Well, you know, those people, they really don't like me a whole lot, and I'm not sure I really like a lot of them." And she says, "Cut it out. You're the pastor, for God's sake. Let's get yourself ready. Let's get going." Oop, I went the wrong way. Let's see if I can do this right. Well, I like to say the good news is we have money. Okay. And I'll start with Grace Doctrine Church. And I apologize for my voice. Hopefully you can hear me. We started off with $106,000 rounded off, and we ended up with $94,000. And you can see also our collections of about $220,000, and we spent $213,000. And the difference there, two items. One is we had to repair our parking lot out here. Most of you may or may not know that. That was about $10,000. And then we had to make our contributions for the audio-visual improvements here, and that's the difference. So all in all, very good year. I thank each and every one, both here in the auditorium and out listening, for their donations. Joe always says he won't ask, but I will. Please keep them coming. So, I don't have a problem with that. I gave up on that stuff years ago. Okay, let's see if we can move on to Joe Griffin Media Ministry. We spent some money this year, as you can notice. We started off with $143,000. And like all good folks, we like to keep things up to date, and we did. We ended it with $77,000, and you can see that we spent about $60,000 more than we brought in. Now, the reason for that is really pretty simple. This church started around 7 years ago, and if anyone knows anything about technology, you're lucky if you can make anything you have electronic last past 5 years. And that's if you're lucky, but being the cheapskates that we are, we pushed it into about seven. So if I look at my little scribbles down here, what we really did was we upgraded the duplication equipment and a lot of the personal computers that a lot of folks like Dana and her folks use. We did that at the very beginning of the year, and that was just between $10,000 and $12,000 between those items. And then we have had the pleasure of having a lot of interest in our books, both new and existing. So the printing and reprinting, we spent about $20,000 at that. And then, once again, we made our fair share contribution to the upgrade of the audiovisual equipment. Now, that is a lot of money, but the beauty of it is, unless we try real hard, we can't screw it up for another 5 years, okay? But that's kind of a nature of technology. I've got a background in that as well, so you know, no one likes to spend the money, but the good news is we're up. And with the latest and greatest, we know words like the cloud and et cetera. We act like we sound intelligent, but I gave up on that. But that's pretty much where we are. And, again, I am always amazed when I open all the letters, the notes and the appreciation of the folks who send money to us for donations. And I always feel like I should write a thank you card back to each one of them because they and you are very gracious, and we greatly appreciate it. So once again, I will humble myself and say keep them coming. I have no problem with that. So unless there's any questions, I'll quietly sit down and not bore you guys for at least one more year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rick. At this point, I am going to ask Joe to come back up here and, if he will, give us a Media Ministries update, if you have one to say, okay?
Well, I do. In fact, I've got two reports. Let's start with this one. This is a Dorito report. If you've ever logged on, I want that out of the way. I'll try to put it back up again. I'll have to stand over here. This is something that Paul did, and I asked him to keep it in very small letters so that I could read it better. There's a mystery that we have to solve every year, and that is, does anybody care about our live netcast? And so we try to figure out how many people actually use the website for live as well as log-ons. And so we decided to do live only because it's impossible to keep up with this in any manner or fashion unless you want to hire somebody and give them a lot of money that Rick doesn't want to give up. You'll notice that there are columns here. There are 12 months in the year, and we decided to start with January, and we ended in December. The total number of live stream viewers for each of those months is listed there, but I have to give you a caveat. People will log on to the website, and for whatever the reason, and there are multiple, they'll drop off or decide they can't take it anymore and shut down, and then have a guilt complex and come back. And that means the same guy or lady logged on two times, and then maybe there was some kind of problem that emerged and they just cut it off and went and dealt with that. And it means broken concentration, of course. And then they come back and log on again. And so you will see that in January, the 2,566 computers that logged on to our website in a live Bible class. And the number of Bible classes in that month was 12, and the average streaming per class was 214. And we know from conversations and letters over the years that families gather together and then groups gather together. I know of one group that there's 12 people every Sunday. There's one out in Arizona has about that many, and so on it goes. So we don't know how many people are actually sitting in front of a television set or a computer during a Bible class. So we went very conservative on that mystery and decided ever how many hits we had, then we doubled the number. And so you'll see 214 hits, but we assume 428 people were involved. That would be on average for the month of January. Such is the case all the way down the line, so that we wind up with 30,706 hits for live Bible classes. 164 classes were taught during the year of 2014. The average for the year per Bible class was 225. We doubled that to 450. So it gives you some idea of who's logging on number-wise. We have no idea who the people are unless we just know them personally. 2014 live Bible class listeners, viewers, a.k.a. Doritos. For the year, 23,030. Average per Bible class, 167, doubling that to 334. As my memory, which is fading, tells me, that was basically what we had last year. So that gives you an update on what's happening with the website and how many people log on and ultimately how many people are involved. Now, I want to give a Media Ministries report. During the last 2 years, Media Ministries has updated, upgraded, or replaced almost every piece of its equipment. And through these updates, we have resulted in better service to our online and mail subscribers. It has often caused us on the production end to run behind. We are in the process of catching up and will resume regular mailings the first week of each month very soon. Media Ministries presently have 150 monthly subscribers throughout the United States, as well as foreign sites. Subscribers. That's in Australia, England, and many countries in Africa. And over time, as our subscribers have become more confident in the use of our website, monthly orders have been slowly declining in number. Our website has become extremely efficient and quite dependable. Our mail subscribers no longer have to wait a month to receive the previous month's lessons. They can listen or watch Bible class live as it is being taught. Lessons are immediately available, enabling anyone to produce their own CDs and MP3s straight from our website. The monthly MP3 package contains an MP3 CD, a bulletin, order form, return envelope, and a visual and diagram page that relates each visual to the corresponding lesson. All the printed materials, including the bulletin and diagram page, along with an order form and return envelope, is printed on church equipment by volunteer staff, saving the church money, an estimate of $5,000 a year. Every MP3 CD is produced by our church staff as well. Each monthly MP3 contains every lesson from the previous month, the pastor's notes, all visuals used, and holiday specials. In addition, all guest speakers' notes and visuals, if provided, are included. In addition to the MP3 distribution, Grace Doctrine Church mails publications of the pastor's basic books, Joe Hunt's Who Loves You, One Day at a Time, the 40 Proclamations, and will soon include the New Promises book. Approximately 5,000 books were sent through the mail or distributed through the church last year alone. Several years ago, Nikki Hunt, Jacobsmeyer,
began assisting with the distribution of her father's book. And with the approval of our pastor and the board of deacons, Nikki includes a letter with each publication. Nikki is keeping the many positive responses she has received over the years, and she hopes to someday include some of the encouraging letters describing the impact the book has had on lives of many others who have encountered similar situations. And in addition, the volunteer staff provides the Philippi Ministries with the pastor's weekly distribution notes. Gary's ministry continues to grow. It is a pleasure for all of the volunteer staff to help both Philippi Ministries and Joe Griffin Media Ministries in any way possible. Here's a brief update on prep school. The nursery is kept by the Kim Minninger every Sunday. Through her many health trials, she has never missed on Sunday since she began. The children love her and she them. We are always with need of substitutes in case of emergencies for nursery, junior prep school, and senior prep school. The prep school continues to be challenging and fun. We have a very active group of young mothers who are eager and willing to teach their children and the many children that join them every Sunday. We have six teachers in the junior prep school that teach 2 months each during the year. Heather Rorschach, Nikki Jacobsmeyer, Lindsay Weber, Rainey Freddy, Dinah Schott, and joining us this year, Kayla Humphrey, Heather Johnson, graciously gives us her time almost every Sunday teaching the children music and doctrinal songs. It's all very much fun, and we're always looking for help. The senior prep school is taught by the men in the church in a more academic environment to prepare the children to enter the congregation. The senior prep school grew out of its room and now has moved down the hall to a larger space this year, a good problem. There are six teachers and teach on a rotation schedule, teaching once a month, 1 month at a time. Each man brings with them their unique talents, some music, some elaborate computer presentations, and some language. The teachers are Paul Davey, Michael Weber, Dennis Norris, Craig Fanning, Casey Hunt, and Wellenschott is a substitute. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. I was just thinking if we had had these numbers back when you took when you taught the time study. Those of you not here aren't laughing, but it's okay if you do. We would have probably seen those numbers sink quicker than Peter. At this time, I'd like to ask if anyone has any new business. Okay. And I'll leave you with everyone who knows who Yogi Berra is. I have a book of some of the dumb stuff he said, but they're really, you can use this on anybody. Somebody asked Yogi Berra one time what time it was, and he said, you mean now? the other one I'll leave you with is he was on the dais in New York after they won the World Series. Mayor was John Lindsay. And John Lindsay's wife was sitting next to Yogi and was outside, and it was in the summer. And she said, Yogi, you really look good. You're as hot as it is. You're very cool. And he turned to her and said, you don't look so hot yourself. So, at this point, I would entertain a motion to it. I didn't do that on purpose. Gary has a lot of exciting things to tell us, all with his ministry, and he even has visuals. So without further ado, Gary, you can get up here before I adjourn prematurely.
I've been forgotten again. I'm going to try to do something a little different this year. I'm going to try to answer a few questions, give you a few slides, and read you a few letters to give you a flavor of what we're doing. First, I want to thank Joe and Grace Doctrine Church and everybody here for all your support this past year. It's been amazing to see what the Lord has provided, the doors he's opened, and the growth we've had, and all the support that's come from everybody here. It's just, I can't put it into words how much I appreciate it. So many have helped. I can't thank everybody individually, but you all know who you are, and I don't think there's a person here today that hasn't helped in some way, whether they went along with me, provided some magazines, copies, postage, you name it, logistical grace. Just thank you all very much. I continue to travel with Rick Hughes and help him in any way I can. I'm going to be with him a couple weeks coming up here, 3 weeks in March, in fact. And it's been a real blessing for me to be with him. It's a struggle to adjust my schedule from time to time because I have the prisons. Then I have to cover those ahead of time, then go with Rick, and then I'm behind, and I got to get caught up when I get back. So it keeps me hopping. But please pray for Rick and Lydia Hughes and Rick's ministry. He's doing a great job, and it's an honor to be with them. We continue to do our kids program, but not very frequently. The Lord hasn't brought a lot of new kids. We thought we had a group of kids that were going to join us and be a part of what we do. They came from the youth in need, but their agenda was different than our agenda. They wanted to come for the fun. They wanted to go paintballing and bowling and laser tag, but when they'd show up just after Bible class ended, and they wanted no part of that. They'd come to a movie, they'd get up and walk out. So I finally had to have a church chat with them and let them know either you take the whole program or you don't get any of it. You know, this is what we do, and if you're not interested, don't show back up. And they never have. So that's been the end of that. So we haven't had any new kids come along. But for those that started with us, we have 8 serving in the United States military, another 13 who are in college. The rest are in high school and are doing well. They're all working, productive members of society. And I told you I was going to have some letters. A card that we got, it said, I started this paragraph 12 times. No words come to me that measure how much I wanted to enlighten you on just how much of an influence, positively, perfectly, unselfish, that you have given to my children. You're the finest human beings that I know. I love you for what you have done for me and my family, and we are enriched tremendously for having known you and your ministry in Grace Doctrine Church. You have made a huge difference in my children's life, and it will never be forgotten. So we'll continue to push forward with that program if the Lord brings the kids, and if not, we just won't do it. So that's a matter of prayer that I would ask for you to see what the Lord has in store for that. On the prison side, God has continued to open more doors and to bring more positive volition believers than I ever thought possible. I brought some letters along that I'm going to mix in with what I have to tell you, and I think you'll find them encouraging. Sir, I'm so grateful our Lord God sent you my way. Before Rick, Pastor Joe, and yourself, I was tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. All my life I've been in pursuit of God's truth in response to his calling. Finally, my search is over. Finally, I enjoy what the Lord promise. Come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Numbers aren't important, but I know from the feedback you enjoy these slides. I'm going to show the slides to you, but what you're only seeing is a small portion of what we deal with on a day-by-day basis. And you have to look at the prison environment similar to St. Louis City, St. Louis County. We have 3 million people. We have 50 people show up. In a prison, you may have 3,500 inmates. You may have 1,000 inmates, some 700. And you may have 50. On Sunday nights, I have 100 show up every Sunday night. You say, how do you know that? Because a guard will come in, and if I have 101, one has to leave or a guard has to stay. I can't have more than 100 in a room alone with me at one time. And in this 100, I've got a range of inmates. I've got those that pass bad checks, to those who are rapists, to those who have murdered multiple people. So there's only 100 that I can deal with. I don't worry about it. It's the rules. But of those 100, you may have 99 kicking the tires. You may have one that's positive. You may have 50 that write you a letter, and then you never hear from them again. So you're seeing those that have kicked the tires and have stayed around. The average time that an inmate stays and studies the Word of God with us is about 5 years. And that's how long we've been going, 5 solid years. The inmates, you hear from them, they write you. They write when you get out. I can't tell you the number of inmates we're sending material to their families, to wives, to their children, or to them after they got, because they don't have the money for a computer. They don't have the money for an MP3 player. So we continue to send notes only when they ask. These are not people we've approached. These are people that approach us. If you don't use your volition, you don't ever get in touch with us. When I go to a facility and they say, hey, take my number and write me, send that to me, I don't take it. The rules are, on my training, is I can't take anything from anyone, and I don't. If they're interested, they'll write. And if they don't write, they don't write. That's on them. It's got nothing to do with me. So everyone that you're about to see are inmates that are writing us, getting the material, and then I'll read you some letters of those that say you're an idiot, quit sending the material to us. That's what we look like in 2010, 2011. 2012, 2013, and that's what we looked like last year. This represents over 500 inmates who are receiving class notes from us twice a month. We have inmates between document 50 on the attackers all the way to the inmates on document 50 of vicarious sacrifice. In between there, they're all listed. We have a spreadsheet. We keep track of them, and some are on 2 and 3 studies. Joe, unfortunately, mentioned studies when he's teaching, and they say, they write me a letter and say, he said something about hermeneutics. How do I get hermeneutics study? So then you get the hermeneutics study. So you got 3 or 4 people doing that study, along with vicarious sacrifice or the attackers. And then he mentions It's a Wonderful Life. So what do I get? Hey, I need this for my marriage. Can I get the Wonderful Life study? So now I got the Wonderful Life, and I got the attackers, I got vicarious sacrifice. You know, it just goes on and on and on. And that's what we do. We provide them. People who write notes, we get about 25 or 30 letters a week. We answer every letter. Not a form letter. Sit down and write everybody back individually. When they ask questions, I dig out Joe's notes off the website. I highlight them, send them back. Send them the colonel's books, Joe's books. Put paper clips in there, which I always get yelled at from the prison staff because I send them a weapon in there, so they can find the material, so they can get the information. So all these inmates, over these 500-plus, are people who have approached us and said, I want to study along with you. They don't all stay. Dear Philippi Ministries, please remove me from your study note mailing list. Some are as simple as that. Some are, Dear Brother Gary, you should be ashamed that you send out this material. Please stop sending the study notes. Dear Gary, or whatever your name is, please stop sending these study notes. I have too many other studies going, and by the way, they believe in tongues and healing. So they tell you what's going on. They also let you know if you mess up or they don't get your notes. Imagine Joe shutting down for an entire month, and you couldn't listen online, you didn't have tapes, you didn't have notes, you'd be pretty distraught. These inmates look forward to getting these notes. That's their lifeline. That's what they need. We can't get behind. When you've got 500-plus inmates, it's a constant assembly line. You constantly are getting notes out. You can't let them down. Dear Gary, I haven't received my next set of notes. Get them out to me. I need to keep studying. Dear Gary, you sent the wrong set of notes. You already sent me vicarious sacrifice pages 311 to 350. I need the notes starting on page 350. Please get those out to me today. They don't want to mess around, and we don't want to. We want to keep them coming. We don't want them to lose the momentum. We want them to continue to advance. That's our job, to feed them. Joe, you're doing it with your notes. You've created a monster. I'm not fooled that everybody sticks with doctrine when they leave. We know that some do. Many have visited this church and continue to come. In most cases, you have no idea who they are. I sent Joe a photograph this week of a young man who used to cry, and I used to tell him he had snot coming out of his nose, crying and sniffling. Had three boys, and his baby's mama would come and visit him. And he got saved in a Bible class. He got out of prison. The first thing he did was married the mother of his children. Those three kids are never doing better. This young man has he works in construction. He has a snow removal business. And recently he started a country music band, and he's doing unbelievable. And Joe, hopefully we'll get to go see him. I'm like you. I'm ready to go see him. So they're all over the spectrum. A lot get back home, and their wives and mothers, they get them into the religious scene again, and that's what they do. That's okay. A lot of them keep their toes in doctrine a little bit. Write a letter. Tell you how, boy, I'm messing up. I'm not taking in the word. I'm going to the Baptist church. I'm going to Lutheran church. You know, I'm not fooled with it. But we did something else this year. We started a program, and I've got the idea from some individuals at Baraka, where we started a course program. Guys like, and women, like to do the book, do a course, see it, look at it. And we start with the book, Who Loves You? And we have a course. We send them a book. We send them a study guide and a self-addressed stamped envelope. They do the book. They send the course back. We correct it. If they pass, they get a certificate. And they get the next book. You say, well, what does it do for them? Well, it gives the gospel clearly over and over again. It clears up a lot of misconceptions out there that these individuals don't get from the religious side. So when they do this book, the 500 people who are doing this study is different than the 500 plus that are doing the Bible class notes. Okay? This is just taken off like wildfire. These people don't even know we offer notes. All they know is we offer a book and a study guide. That's it. They take it. They send it in. We send them a certificate. Some take this self-addressed stamp envelope and write a letter to Mama. I don't know who else they write with it. We never hear from them again. That's okay. That's on them. I don't have time to track them. I send it out. You send it back. We grade it. You pass. You get a certificate in the next book. And we have 500 inmates who are doing this right now across the United States, as well as those that are doing the Bible class notes and studying along with Grace Doctrine Church. The Lord is opening doors like we've never seen. The women prisons has opened up 10 women prisons in the last 90 days of young ladies writing us saying, how do I get this? And you say, how do I get this material? How do they find out about you? God's grace. Okay, there's no other way. But he's opened a few doors that's made it easy for us. Here's a letter. I want to thank you for the support of the Adams County Correctional Center. Thank you for the donation of the Bible study books. The material is the best I have ever received in my entire chaplaincy career. Another chaplain at the Estelle unit in Texas, Huntsville, Texas. My name is Chaplain Wayne Moss, and I'm the chaplain here at the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. This facility houses over 3,200 Texas prisoners, and I am writing your ministry today to humbly request at least 100 of Joe Griffin's books to add to our chapel library. I want to give these to the offenders who are serious about studying the Word of God. This lady, I'm surprised she wrote us. She got mad at me, and I haven't been invited back because I told the men in a Bible class that when you get out of here, you need to get under a qualified pastor. You need to study the Word. They need to do it exegetically, categorically, and it needs to be a man. Well, she was a lady, found out about it, and I haven't been back. But she did write on January the 8th, I would like to request donations of your books by Pastor Joe Griffin and any other CDs or DVDs that you have from Joe Griffin Media Ministries. The offenders that are incarcerated at this facility are requesting them. I know the only way to change behavior is to change their hearts and minds. The solid teaching that comes from your ministry is we need to have made available, and it has made an incredible difference to the 1,000 offenders that are housed here at Farmington Correctional Center. So, these chaplains pass it out. They give the material. And the doors that God has opened for us at the Federal Correctional Center in Oklahoma City, every inmate in the federal system that's transferred from one facility to another goes through Oklahoma City. Chaplain Entz is our biggest supporter. And when they come there, the first book they get is Who Loves You? And if they're there long enough, they get Joe Griffin's book number one on the basic book. And they leave there. They go to wherever it is they're going. What do they have in hand when they show up there? Who Loves You? Joe Griffin's book number one. And the next thing you know, they pass it on to someone else. That's how we filter around. In the state of Texas, at the diagnostic prison, and when you go to prison, the first thing you go to is a diagnostic place. They have psychiatrists talk to you. They check your record. Are you violent, nonviolent, first-time offense, second, third, ninth, whatever. And that's how they classify where you're going to go to prison. The Lord's opened the door at the Missouri Eastern Diagnostic and Correctional Center and at the Fulton Correctional Diagnostic Center. I'm there all the time at these facilities. And the chaplains there support what we do. So whenever an inmate needs something, they refer them to us. Now, the largest diagnostic prison in Texas is at the Joe F. Gurney unit in Palestine, Texas. And Chaplain Taylor refers everybody to us. And I have a letter here from an inmate where he requested a Bible study, and he said, write Philippi Ministry. They're the ones you need to talk to. He didn't refer them to Rock of Ages or Set Free or any of those. He refers them to us. And then when they leave the Joe F. Gurney unit, they take it all over Texas. And that's how they find out about us. We don't send out material saying, tell Fred to write me. They find out from the chaplains. So I'll shut up. I could go on and on. And, you know, one thing I want to let you know, everybody always says there, you have a captured audience. There's nothing to do in prison but go to church. Not true. There's plenty to do. Plenty of things to get in trouble with, too. You can, anything you can do on the outside, you can do on the inside. You just got to be a little creative. And they are. And that's why it messes with your schedule a lot, because all of a sudden they'll have a shakedown and they'll shut it down and I don't go. And I'll be there. I'll walk in the front door and scan my card, walk in, get a radio and be there 20 minutes. And they say, we're locking everybody down. You got to go. Because it's prison. Why do they lock them down? They're looking for knives. They're looking for guns, drugs, anything and everything you can think of. There's plenty to do. They don't have to come to church. And you can't just roam around. It is prison. You can't just walk around. They have controlled moves. You can't go anywhere you're not supposed to be. You got to use your volition. When I'm going to a prison, the chaplain will put up my name. He's coming on this date. First act of volition, you got to sign up for that class. If you don't sign up, you don't go. Second act of volition, when I get there and call them out to come to the chapel, you don't have to leave. You can stay and play cards, watch a movie, do whatever else you're doing. You got to use the act of volition to get the Bible class. When you're done with the Bible class, you get there, you don't like it, you don't have to stay. Granted, that's a little more difficult because I'd have to get on the radio and call a guard to come get you because you can't move around. You just can't roam. But there's trouble comes by signing up for Bible class. You have a boyfriend in another class, another housing unit that you don't get to see. I know, I'll go meet in Gary's Bible class. Or you have white supremacists that want to come or Muslims and disrupt a Bible class. They show up in your Bible class. And then you have to address it. And you can't let them get away with it. And you got to call them down, call them out, and kick them out. And it doesn't always go well. That's what you're dealing with. That's what you're up against. Again, not everybody has the academic discipline we have here. Some of these people come to create trouble. You just let the Lord sort out the issues and take care of it, and you move on. I'm going to leave you with a couple letters, and I'll shut up. And I appreciate your time today. I could go on, and it's just amazing to see these inmates flourish. Please allow me to reintroduce myself after our first encounter last year during your Bible class. How I wish more pastors and preachers would speak with the calm and confident boldness you showed while instructing us in the solid food of God's living, breathing word. Hello, my brother and friend in Christ. I miss your teaching and leadership. That's where I got told I couldn't come back with the lady. That's why he misses it. I thank God that he put you in my path to help mentor me. I know as I grow in Christ, my desire is to share with others what I've learned about salvation, grace, and most importantly, humility. And I'll skip over some of these and get to the end here. I got a couple that I do want to read to you at the end. Thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. Satanic strategy to hinder the plan of God is more than a blessing. It is a gift from our Lord God. Truth, absolute truth from the hand and mouth and mind of God is the greatest reality to be shared with in this life. And lastly, this book you sent called One Day at a Time is a blessing. Joe Griffin truly is an apostle of God. Thank you, everyone, for your support. Please keep me in your prayer. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Chaplains have really been supportive of this ministry for a couple reasons. One, when they ask for something, we don't ask them to pay for it. When they ask to come in, we can, it sounds odd, I know, we can fill an hour and a half or an hour and 40 minutes of Bible class, and these other preachers that come in 20 minutes, they're looking around waiting for the praise band to start. An average Bible class is 2 hours. They take 15 or 20 minutes to sing all the latest and greatest praise songs. I'm an expert in them, if you'd like to know the words. And Jimmy will tell you, you sit in the back and you just nod your head waiting for it to be over, keeping an eye on what in the heck's going on in front of you. And then they shut up after that. When they're done, they're done. And then they know it's my time. Chaplains have asked us for many things, for communion, material, the cracker and the juice, and we provided it for them. Unbelievable. They just can't believe that we would do this. They asked for Bibles. We've sent them not only the chaplains to support the chaplain, but Joe, when we have someone who studied with us and we have a way to vet them, because we could send out, I could send out 1,000 Bibles tomorrow. Be no question about that. They never get used, but we could send them out. But we have a system to vet them. And over the last, I'm going to say 7 years, maybe eight, we've sent out about 100, I don't have the number here, about 140 Schofield Bibles to inmates. And the letters we get, I didn't read any of those, again, are unbelievable. They just overwhelmed that we would do this. That affects the chaplains. They see this and they go, you guys do this? We even had one warden that called me on the carpet and said, these guys are inmates. They don't need a Bible this good. I cut it off. And if you ever do this again, we'll kick you out. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, time out. We're providing them with a... They're going to study the Word of God. They need a study Bible. And he goes, I don't even have a Bible that good. I said, we'll send you one too then. Don't, you know, no big deal. That was a long struggle to get over, to overcome that at that prison. And it's one I'm at all the time. And as a matter of prayer, that chaplain's retired, and now there's a new guy there who's a Pentecostal, and that's a whole nother struggle because you've got all these different environments creeping in everywhere you go. Satan tries to stop you every chance he gets. And it's not just inmates showing up, but you got to appease the chaplain, and you see how they can kick you out. You're just saying, you know, I'm not talking about a woman. I mean, she is the control. She stops it. But God's word continues because the inmates wanted it, and guess what? Now she says, can you send it to me? And we had it out on the 9th. She requested it on the 8th. So I don't know if that answers your question, Joe, but the other thing is we're so authority-orientated that these guards and chaplains and the administration support us unbelievably. And the fact that we don't give opinions and we're not emotional, that's another thing that they buy into, and the inmates buy into that. They get that difference between us and those that come in for 20 minutes and sing for an hour and 40. There's hundreds of those. If you want to go to a sweat lodge in prison, it's there. You want the Wiccans? It's there. You want the Muslims? Every type of Muslim. 3-4 different types, groups they have. They do that. They get special food. They get prayer rugs. They'll come in and interrupt the Bible class just to get their prayer rugs. Make a big scene. Fortunately, at where they did this at, a young guard there, Scott, has become a believer. He's in the Naval Reserve. And he floats around on Friday nights when I'm there, and he sits in my Bible class. And he actually put a stop to it to keep him from doing it. And he apologized. I'm sorry, I should have been here sooner. It's like, no big deal. Relax. You know, we got this. And now he shows up at Bible class. So we have that kind of support in all the facilities we're in. And you can see what the chaplains are doing for us. You want Bible study material? Write these people. Don't write these people. Any other questions? Probably want to go home. I know I rambled on. Thank you, everybody.
Those are not mine. Do you ever tell those inmates that you can only take on 100 at a time? That's why no more can come in.
No, I do have a good story, though. Hey, Dennis, I'm going to tell you a story. I brought Dennis Norris along. He's been more than once, but I brought him in. He was there, and when I got up, I introduced him. I said, I want everybody to know Dennis Norris is my bodyguard. And this big black guy, you know him, Jim Thurgood Jowers, he was in the very front row. He's probably 6'6", maybe 280, 300 pounds. And he looked up at me, and he goes, Mr. Gary, if I was you, I'd have brought somebody bigger.
And maybe you answered this and I wasn't paying attention, but actually some of the chaplains are on doctrine now because they've been introduced to your ministry.
Absolutely. And I can show you where they've set up take groups. I said we were going to quit so we can go home. No, I don't think Paul put it in there. Paul, it's your fault. I have a slide that shows all the take groups that we have set up in prisons across the United States. We're somewhere around 46 take groups in prisons. I don't know how many attend each of those groups. Again, that's not my business. But that's all set up by chaplains. And we have 7 prisons where the chaplains lead the take groups, that they actually listen to Joe Griffin and set it up with opening and prayer and then get them started on it. And then they sit through the whole lesson. So.
And did you say you actually have sent Bibles to some chaplains?
Yes, we've sent several chaplains Bibles.
If you were a chaplain, would you be embarrassed to ask for a Bible?
They didn't get the right Bible.
Yeah, that's true. But I think a lot of these people have trouble, as many of us did, getting their arms around grace. They just don't understand it. There's a lady at work who's now listening, not listening, but she's reading every book I give her, Joe's books and Colonel Theme. She works. A little cute lady, about 42 years old, that's 110 pounds, but she's an ex-Marine DI. And I started giving her these books because she's had some family catastrophes, deaths in the family, et cetera. So she started reading these things. And I asked her, so what do you think so far? She said, well, for the first time in my life, I have a relationship with my Lord. And she said, how can I get more of these books? So I showed her in the back where you can order, like at Baraka or here. I said, or you can call them. There's a phone number for Baraka. And there was another lady that works in my lab who's kind of looking over her shoulder. She said, well, how much are these going to cost? And I said, there's no cost. And she said, yeah, right. I said, here, read the financial policy out loud. So she did. And the other lady went, whoa. So right now it's just a whoa. And if she doesn't behave, I'm going to sit Gary on her. Okay, I will now entertain a motion to adjourn. Okay, Jimmy, in a second.
Timmy. Okay. Joe, I'd ask you to close in prayer, please.
Okay.
Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to go over the past year of Grace Doctrine Church and Media Ministries. And as we did, we were able to view your grace. We thank you for the grace and abundance that you supply these ministries, including Gary's. The Word of God is alive and powerful, and you have engineered the grace response that is necessary for it to go broadly. We thank you for that. We thank you for the prospects for the year 2015. And we continue to count on your grace individually as we go through our lives in the devil's world. We lift our prayers of gratitude and appreciation in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed.